Well, today's Laity Sunday. I love this thing. I got to get bigger ears. There we go. So today's Laity Sunday, and I want to start out by thanking Pat Reed for asking me to do this. When she first asked, I had a moment of trepidation, but then something inside said, say yes. It isn't something I've ever done before, so the challenge was exciting. So I'm here. But Pat, just between you and me, I'm glad to see you're by the door. So in case things go south, you can get out of here while the crowd gets, you know, angry. But anyway, all kidding aside, I want to thank Mark and a number of others who helped me in putting this together. And also I'd like to thank the dear Lord for Google. It's amazing what you can do with Googling for sermons. Would you please pray with me and for me? Holy Spirit, be with your humble servant now, and in spite of my limitations, may the ears, the minds, and the hearts of your people be open today and every day to your truth. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Today we lift up and celebrate the Laity. We're celebrating you, every one of you, for what you do as a body of Christ here at Miriam Christian Church. Let me start by saying the dictionary says that laity is ordinary or common people as distinct from clergy. So in other words, the clergy, pastors who have dedicated their lives, had to go through rigorous training, years of studying, and of course formal ordination, while the rest of us are just normal going people. We don't have any background in the formal ministry. So in that context of religion, it makes sense. You have the clergy, you have the ordinary people. But as I prepared for this sermon today, I quickly came to the conclusion that you're not ordinary. You're quite extraordinary. Hence the title of the sermon, Laity, Anything But Ordinary. So let's talk a little bit about, before we get into that, the traditional thoughts on Laity Sunday. You know, I have to admit, I'm one of the group that said, you know, as far as I know, Laity is just a day that we give the minister a day off. You know, he gets to sit in the pews for once, and the rest of us, we participate in various parts of the service. But, you know, I got to thinking about that, too, and I'm going, you know, it's not that much different today. I mean, Bob and I are doing different parts today that Mark would have done. But when you really stop to think about it, there's a lot of people involved in the worship. There's a lot of laity involved, just ordinary people. For instance, the elders, they pray at the table. The deacons and the assistant deacons serve you at the congregation. The ushers greeted us at the door. The valet parked the cars for those people in need. Emily and other musicians play the organ and piano for us. Members of the worship committee have arranged for preparation of the communion. The candles have filled with oil. They arrange special music for us. Sunday school classes, we have the lessons going on being taught by the leaders and teachers. Fellowship hours provided by a Sunday school class. And of course, one of the more recent additions with all these wonderful children to be present, we have the children's worship and wonder time. House and grounds. They ensure that we come to a nice, clean church that's appropriately cool or warm. The sidewalks be clear if there's a snow day. But let me apologize up front. I know there's just so many people that participate in this. It would take me forever, and I know you don't want me to be sitting up here for 30, 40 minutes. There's just so many people that contribute to the Sunday service. Our service is really a partnership between Mark, our minister, who performs the critical pieces, and the lay people of our church. Yes, the ordinary people who aren't so ordinary. As you're all aware, the role of laity does not revolve exclusively around the worship service. For over 100 years, your role has been woven into the fabric of this church, woven into everything that makes us church. The pastor alone cannot do everything, though at times I know we want him to and expect him sometimes. But to be fair, in our heart of hearts, we know that For the church to be what it is needs to be in God's eyes, we have to work together, building up this body of Christ. The significance of God-given gifts and an understanding of how that relates to the body of Christ was relayed to us in our first scripture reading of Romans chapter 12. Let me repeat. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. I can't think of a better example of the body of Christ at work or the importance of your work, the laity's work, than the last year and a half. We all observed and experienced what it means to have an active, involved, committed laity. I truly believe that during Mark's sabbatical, if we had not been blessed with this gift of your laity, we would have had all kinds of problems. But we didn't. We'd still be dealing with the problems, probably. But we don't have to. Because of you, the laity, Mark and you, the entire congregation, grew in your faith. We learned things about ourselves and what we could do that maybe we had questioned ourselves in the past. In the end, we all benefited from that period of time. Let's take a minute and think about what was done by you, this body of Christ. Francis visited and continues to visit and minister to the shut-ins and sick of our congregation. He shared his gift many times during the worship of special music. He's been the board chairman, he's been an elder, he's a trustee, a committee chairman, and a committee participant. If that's not commitment, I don't know what is. And Ricky. Well, I don't know where to start with Ricky. He is a shining example of one who joyfully serves in God's name. I think you would all agree. He is a deacon. He coordinates the use of the church by various groups, the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, Johnson County Christmas Bureau, the bus company, Kansas City Strings, delivers backpacks to Miriam Park that we put together. He receives the Harvester food for us and gets it organized. He's a valet. He's sound. The list goes on. God bless you, Ricky, for all you do. And Leroy. How many decades Leroy has been at this church, involved in so many countless activities and events and projects, along with so many other people, his brothers in arms, so to speak. His unwavering service to this church and the community can never be adequately recognized or appreciated. And the Pastoral Relations Committee, or the PRC, always there to support Mark and his ministry. For months, they organized and prepared the sabbatical, interviewing potential interim ministers, which was no small task. It took a lot of time to go through the resumes and find the right person. And God bless them, I think we found a wonderful person in Casey. They were also the ones that started the idea and got it going about the Christmas workshop, which was a wonderful event this year. And so many people contributed to it. All the members joyfully contributed. It wasn't a task. They did it because they felt it was needed to be done, and they wanted to do it. They wanted to participate. And all the volunteers that day, it's just always amazing how many people step forward for those kinds of events to help those children have a special day. The outreach, Carol and her committee, champion and lead us in the Johnson County Food Ministry, the backpacks, the Adopt-A-Family, Cornucopia, school supplies, Helping Hand. Outreach also coordinates with the Finance Committee for the financial gifts that you, the congregation, provide that go for the Salvation Army, Hospice, Crossline, City Union Mission, Community Family Support, Shawnee Community Services, Cancer Action, Safe Home, Rebuilding Together Shawnee, the Sunflower House. That's an incredible list. Our little church touching all those people. Ordinary people? I don't think so. You're very special. The Finance Committee, Dixie and her committee, spending every Monday reconciling the Sunday offerings, the annual stewardship drive, the distribution of gifts to the local and world outreach organizations I just mentioned. making sure that the payroll is done and the bills are paid. They're very faithful in their stewardship of the church finances. House and grounds. Sometimes they're the forgotten group that works constantly and quietly behind the scenes, but I think you can imagine what it takes to keep a 100-year-old building going. It's a lot of time and effort, a lot of hard work. And the worship committee, Pat and her committee, working tirelessly, arranging for the preparation of communion, hanging of the greens, the liturgists, the elders, the deacons, the serving teams. And the list goes on for them. And of course, the elders and deacons working as in the worship committee, working as worship, serving their flocks, serving the congregation in all kinds of ways in times of need. And of course, the DWM, Disciple Women's Ministry, making blankets and hats and gloves for the Johnson County Christmas Bureau, the Cross Lines, the Blessing Box, the Kiva. As I said, the list goes on. There's just so many that contribute. As you can see, we're blessed to have these unique individuals with their God-given gifts working together as a body of Christ. Think about all the activities, the events, the life-sustaining things that mean so much to people. And I'm serious about the I'm very serious about the life-sustaining things. That food that you make possible to those kids during the summer is huge. Otherwise, they would not have any food. As a body of Christ, those talents combine to do wondrous things that you have. Some of you may say these things are just ordinary things that you do. I'm confident that the people you touch through your ministries is extraordinary to them, done by not so ordinary people. Lady, you're anything but ordinary. Which brings me to the second scripture reading, Nehemiah. Some say Nehemiah was just an ordinary man. And Nehemiah is a forgotten book of the Bible. But it may surprise you to know that scholars believe that Nehemiah is one of the best examples of laity. He's a model of laity, actually. When we meet Nehemiah in today's reading, he was a servant in the king's palace of Shushan in Shushan, Persia, far from his homeland, which he never got to see before now. See, his parents had been in exile when Jerusalem was destroyed. And those people went to Persia. So he knew nothing but Persia. He had not grown up in Jerusalem. But he was a servant. He was an important one with special status. He was the cupbearer for the king, Artaxerxes. Anybody know what a cupbearer is other than the literal cupbearer, Bob?
Taste the wine before the king does.
That's right. It only takes one time to do the, to get it wrong. You don't get a second chance. So it was a very special job, and he was around the king because of that all the time. He had a special relationship in that situation. So this special status, though, among servants really didn't give any special background, though, or give him any reputation in Jerusalem, like he would know what he's doing. He's just a servant. He didn't have a boss. He didn't run a group of people. Furthermore, he was looked on as an outsider because since he had not grown up there or spent any time in Jerusalem, they're going like, well, who is this guy? They don't know anything about him. He earned their respect, though, by being amongst them. He labored next to them. He served them. He didn't look to be served. He was the living example of what all the people of Israel ought to be, because one of the other problems going on in Israel was they had lost their path of faith. They weren't doing the things that God wanted them to do, expected them to do. But Nehemiah lived a holy life. He was a great example. But again, his servant, being a servant, was his training for his whole life's work now. As you recall, the life of servitude is exactly what Jesus calls of us and says, to be a good leader, you have to be in service. So one of the things that first struck me when I was reading Nehemiah about his situation was when he heard the story and the plight of his brethren in Jerusalem, he immediately knew that he had to do something. He didn't think about it. He knew at that very moment, he didn't know how he was going to do it, but he needed to do something. He could not sit by idly and let those people go through what they were going through. He didn't turn a deaf ear to the misery. He didn't think about, well, let somebody else deal with that. I don't have time for that. You know, Nehemiah's story, though, is it's nearly 2,600 years old. But this past week, I think we saw an example of something that parallels Nehemiah. And that is when Mark put the call out through email that there was a family in need. Their house had been infested, completely infested with bedbugs. And they were going to have to take everything out of the house, throw away most of what they had, and start over again. You responded. When the need was made known, the call was answered. The first answer came from John Beaver. He said, we don't need a dumpster. Forget the $450. I got a dump truck. I got people that can go over there. We'll take care of it. At the same time, others of you were stepping forward. I have sheets. I have towels. I have pillows. I have the things that can help these people. Now, I know that we're not rebuilding Jerusalem here like Nehemiah was, or putting up the wall to protect the city. But you got to know something, that you know those people, that family, didn't know where to turn. They didn't have the resources to start over again. This was extremely serious for them. But you responded. You didn't ask questions. You didn't ask why. You didn't say, let somebody else do it. You all did it. You, the not so ordinary people. But, you know, Nehemiah, I think, is a great example for us to follow, as I said earlier. It's really, he did some extraordinary things with really no background. I think he teaches us that whoever we are, whatever our background, whatever our training, whatever our position in life is, God has gifted us and calls on us to use those gifts as servants. Yes, again, Nehemiah was an ordinary person with no special training, but he used the position he had to bring order to the Jews, to bring stability and proper focus to God. Look around. You're surrounded by ordinary people who have no special training, no special background, who are doing extraordinary things. To wrap up this message today, and with apologies to Jeff Foxworthy and his famous "You Might Be a Redneck If," everybody's heard that, right? I'd like to present "You Are a Layperson If." If you're not an ordained minister and you give of your time, your talents, and your finances in a sacrificial and joyful way, you are a layperson. If you serve, whether inside or outside the church and community or local and distant mission trips, and if you actively seek ways to serve others rather than being served, you are a layperson. If you are willing, even if you're uncomfortable or unsure of yourself, to share the witness of what God and Christ has done to you and what it means in your life, you are a layperson. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus and accepted God's infinite grace and love, and who, with the help of the Holy Spirit, lives a Christ-centered life, you are not only a layperson, you're a Christian. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you see us and provide us with all that we need. We thank you for calling us together and gifting us with all that we need to minister in your name. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless each person here today. Help us to value each person and to respect what he or she offers to our community as we serve together as your people. May we grow closer to you and to one another as we grow in love and live in hope and serve with compassion. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to be your hands, your feet, your voice, your eyes, your ears in the community. We especially thank you for the time and the talent and the financial resources given by so many of this laity gathered before you today, those anything but ordinary people. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.